Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do this year single-handedly.
Packs every arena she's in.
She had grown men turning off whatever they love to watch to see her play.
You're 100% right. She, I hate to say it, but in ways bigger than the sport.
100%.
But also elevating the sport to where they're making more money, bigger TV contracts, so everybody does benefit from her success as well. The Knicks beating the Sixers in the playoffs, I thought was a... obviously, this is specific to New York, this one, because there's other great basketball moments. But them beating Philly, with or without Embiid being healthy, was a pretty good moment around here for sure. I know we don't talk a lot of hockey, but this stays within the whole Garden family of the Knicks and the Rangers. The Chris Kreider hat trick, when it looked like the Hurricanes were going to come back from 0-3 down, and that third period he had was unbelievable. And I know we're running out of time, but
that's fine.
The other one I had to put down here. It's a weird moment from 2024, but the same way I say you kind of can't tell the story without Caitlin Clark, Scottie Scheffler getting arrested the morning of the PGA Championship and then teeing off later in the day and playing in the event was a bizarre sports
story. Didn't they have photos of the guy on top of the car, the cop?
I think there were certain amateur videos, phone videos. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And all who was the reporter that was actually there? Was it Fowler? Somebody was there for the scene.
Oh, yeah, there were guys there.
And there was a report that, I guess, Scheffler was like, man, please help me, while the guy was getting walked away in cuffs. I think there's a video recording of that.
I mean, just bizarre.
Which is nuts.
Yes. And then I could end it. I don't know if you saw this story. Scheffler is going to miss the first handful of tournaments, I believe, because Christmas night he sliced his hand cutting food at the dinner table. I don't know if you said that kind of went. I don't think people really saw that story. That was just the other day.
That's nuts.
Yeah, because I think he was going to be in Kapalua or wherever they play those tournaments. It used to be the Sony Open. They play the first two events in Hawaii. I think he's out of them because of his hand.
What was he, chopping cheese?
So, I don't know what he was doing, but you know, people cutting do some stupid things. So there you go. Those are my lists of highlights and moments. You clearly didn't like all of them. I do. I thought they were pretty good.
I think you should have just asked me. We could have collaborated on
it. All right, so you have a couple of minutes. Tell me what I missed on the other side.
Everything.
Also, more on the football. I want to get your take on the coaching vacancies that you think will or will not happen in about 5 days.
Okay.
All that and more. It's Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, a couple minutes after 8 o'clock, it is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Built Ford Tough Studio, 888-808-1019 is the phone number. I gave my list of great moments from 2024, and you'd like to add to that? Let's go ahead. I'm listening. You had 5 minutes to think about it.
Yeah, you did. I was too busy talking to you.
I know.
No, there's a lot. I mean, there was a lot of... I'm trying to think. I can't think about nothing now. Now I'm sitting there. Only because I'm thinking about Aaron Rodgers, you know?
But there wasn't, though.
There wasn't. That's my point.
I thought about, like, when I started to put the list together... Before I started looking it up, I started thinking in my own mind, all right, there's got to be something with the Jets. No, they're brutal. There's nothing with the Jets. All right, the Giants, let's go that angle.
Nothing.
No, they're brutal. Like, there's nothing that you can hang your hat on, really, that would qualify as this great moment. The baseball was easy. And I could have pulled, even like Mike said, you could have pulled a million baseball clips because there are a lot of big moments. But, you know, you try and limit it to the biggest ones that you can think of. The basketball, to me, when the Knicks... Man, when they punched the Sixers in the front, when they actually
that clinched, was huge.
That was huge around here. And they had a lot of big moments, but to me, nothing bigger than beating, you know, the Sixers from down the turnpike. That was as big as it got. And it was a lot of fun to watch. The hockey, nothing's bigger to me than what Kreider did in that third period. So to me, the list was relatively easy. And you sit there and wonder, what did I miss? But, you know, you've come up with nothing. That's fine.
Well, no, I forgot the Olympics was this summer.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? Do we not support the Olympics?
I can't take the
don't like, tell me you don't the take Steph the Olympics Kerr, serious.
No, I didn't say that. Because
Simone Biles was able to Lyles.
No. Because they are amazing.
We had breakdancing. That was a highlight.
They are amazing athletes that are the best in the world. So I ain't taking anything away from them. But usually, especially in this station, if we bring up the Olympics, it's usually the Olympic basketball or Olympic hockey is obviously very popular. And what Steph Curry did in the Olympics, it was marvelous. But to me... I don't know.
You can't say I don't know and then give us a show. Why were you wowed by what Steph Curry did?
Because I expect it. That's why.
But that's how I felt about the Super Bowl. Like, I expected.
You know what? Fair. You poo-pooed it. I just poo-pooed that. You know what? We're even. That's a fair criticism.
Okay.
And the same way I'm looking at you nuts, you're looking at me nuts. So I think we just balance each other out. Let's get back to, we've talked a lot about the Jets coaching situation. We don't know about the Giants situation. So I want to bounce off a couple of teams to you.
Yes.
And you tell me, I guess what I'm curious at is how many vacancies do you think that we are going to have on Sunday night, Monday morning, and let's say usually Tuesday at the latest. So I'm going to give you a list of teams.
Okay.
We'll go down. We'll start in the AFC. And I mean this when I say this, and they're not bad. They're 8-8. But Mike McDaniel, is he safe?
Yeah, I think Mike is safe. I think the biggest concern moving forward is obviously Tua and the health concerns. But I think he's fine. Like the Dolphins, they're still scrappy.
They are, and they're still alive.
They're not out of it.
But he's taken a beating this year.
Well, I think he gets applauded for having this kind of mad scientist mindset when it comes to offense. But obviously that offense was built around Tua with being with the quick strikes, on time with the football. It was geared around one guy to be able to do his job. When Tua was out of that lineup, they fell flat. And I think that's been the biggest criticism, because I think great systems, it doesn't matter who's in that position. Mm-hmm. The system works, right? You don't need you need the orchestrator. But anyway, I think Mike is fine.
Okay, because he was answering. We talk about how tough the media is in other places. You know, 2 weeks ago, he's at the podium answering questions about if he thinks his job is safe, which is interesting.
I didn't think he was in the hot seat.
Yeah. I don't know if he is or not, okay. But the media down there was asking him about himself and Greer going forward. Should they remain, and do they think
lost a lot? I think people forget they lost a lot. They lost Ron Hunt to the Panthers. They lost some significant pieces. So, and the OBJ thing flopped on them.
Yes, it did. Very much so. All right, the Jets we know. What about Jerod Mayo in New England?
It's tough for me to talk about Jerod because I know him personally. Great guy. Was a hell of a ball player.
I can't believe they move on after 1 year.
So they're committed to him.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right. In the Browns, I would say no. I would think they're fine. It's more about the quarterback. But you think I think more he'd quit more so than get fired. I mean, the quarterback play was The quarterback play was atrocious.
Yeah. No, I think Stefanski's fine. I think to your point, it's more about who's going to be throwing the football.
Agreed. All right. Jacksonville. What are they doing with Doug Peterson?
Oh, he's gone. I think he knows he's gone.
So that's number two. Yeah. Tennessee, no. They just hired him. He's not going anywhere, right. I wouldn't think. No. The Raiders. We think Antonio Pierce is gone.
Looks like it. I think a lot of people are saying. And AP's a hell of a dude. Got a lot of respect for him.
And I love that they actually stuck with him last year because the team did play. And they've played for him down the stretch. Like, that's another team. The quarterback position's brutal.
It's everything. When it comes to keeping a coach, dealing with a rough season, I think a lot speaks to how this team continues to fight for him, play. What does the optic look? You're talking about the guys giving up. Like, when you talk about Mike McCarthy, those guys are still playing for him. You're talking about the Raiders, they're still playing for him, right? Like, all that matters, especially when you feel like, man, if we had that one guy at the quarterback position, this is a different – we're looking at this team in a whole different lens. So, I think that all matters.
All right, so we've got three, we believe, on Monday in the AFC. In the NFC, I will ask you what you think. What is the future of Mike McCarthy in Dallas, or will that be an open position next week?
I told you my opinion yesterday. If I'm Mike McCarthy, I'm walking away. I'm not giving.
So you think in your opinion, the Cowboy job will be open?
I do think it would be open. I think if you're Mike McCarthy, it was fun. You did the best you could. I think the Cowboys are on their way to having 8 head coaches in 32 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to go find another
one.
He's
been very patient. Jerry Jones with Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy, and even Wade Phillips, for the most part, he's been very patient.
Sure. And sometimes it just don't work out for whatever reason. But I do think we talk about what does Mike McCarthy offer is getting the best out of your quarterback. He did that with Dak. Now Dak is going on his second big-time injury, torn hamstring.
Yep.
Like, we don't know what that looks like for him next year.
True.
So if you're Mike McCarthy, get out while you can, especially on a high note. And then if I'm the Bears, I'm calling Mike McCarthy. Like, hey, man, I got a young stud that we need to figure out. Can you be that guy?
He could
for
be in. You know what? He could be in demand.
I think he'll be a hell of a
certainly possible. And those guys, by the way, those guys did do a good job in terms of the regular season. They won a lot of games. They never did anything in the postseason aside from a win here or win there. I'm going to save them for the last. All right, we know the Bears. That's an opening that we know about. Obviously, no. Good. The Saints we know is available. 100%. Panthers. Probably gets his first year. Bryce Young's played better.
They're not going to.
So that's fine. Okay.
Getting a new head coach is, that's a lot of turnover. It's a lot of turnover. It's a lot of trust. It's a lot of rebuilding with trying to do everything within a year. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But you got to be committed to your guy if you feel like you believe in him.
And I would think the West there, I mean, I can't imagine anything's happening with Shanahan, Gannon, and Seattle with the Rams. So that looks like that's it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But I did leave one team. As you sit here today on December 31st, if you had to place a wager on red or black at the roulette table, red's out, black, he stays.
Love roulette.
Is Brian Daboll staying?
I think he stays. I don't think Mara wants to.
All right, so you think 6 is the number then?
Yeah, I don't think Mara wants to turn over again. I think he just doesn't want to go through it. I think he feels like if you get a quarterback in here, bringing some reinforcements, the Giants could be a different team. I think it's hard for an owner to go vet another head coach and another GM and come up with another plan and another mindset and another structure to help a team win when you just really had to just keep grinding and figuring it out.
All right, so with all of that said, out of the Jets, Cowboys, Bears, Saints, Jaguars, and I'll give you another one. They've played great, but there's been a lot of rumblings around Zach Taylor. He's not going anywhere. You wouldn't think.
No, I think Joe saved him.
I would agree.
Yeah, Joe saved. I think he's fine.
All right, so out of these 6 then, you've got the Jets, Cowboys, Bears, Saints, Jaguars, Raiders. What's the best job? What's the worst job?
I think right now the worst job is unfortunately the Jets.
Really? See, now that's interesting because we sit here and laud the talent and we think they've got players. And you would, why? Just because collectively it's a disaster?
I think collectively it's a disaster. I think it's really hard for a head coach to come, a motivator that can, you got to understand, like the core of this team, and I'm talking about the Sauce Gardeners, the Quentin Williams, the Elijah Vera Tuckers, the Garrett Wilson, like these guys walked into that building, being drafted, having one thought in mind, we were going to change the culture and the perception of New York Jets. Nothing has gone right for this team.
Nothing has
gone anything remotely close to what their expectations were. And now with a Hall of Fame quarterback, it seems, and we said this yesterday, it seems like it's worse than how they started. I mean, so I don't know if you're a head coach, how do you shock life back into those guys? Again, I'm sure things could turn around within a year. We've seen coaches do that. But that's a daunting task, man, to get guys to believe, especially after last year. You know, there was a perception, well, once Zach goes, we'll get Aaron and we'll be up and running. Like, we got everything we need. We got a defense. We got an offensive line. We got everything we need. We'll be fine. And that has failed. So now you're talking about this young group who's getting, like, Garrett Wilson's up for an extension, right? You talk about Sauce is going to be up. Breece Hall is going to be up. All these guys are going to be up. Now you have the core of your team questioning if they even want to be in the building playing for this team.
And a meddling owner.
Yeah. So I think that's a lot to kind of conquer if you're a new guy trying to get this team back on par.
The Jets are a worse job than Joe. I guess they got Trevor Lawrence. All right, so you got the Jets as the 6th best out of the 6. What is the best job? If you could pick a team out of the next group, Cowboys, Bears, Saints, Jaguars, Raiders, you would go where?
I think the best.
And everything encompassing. It's the quarterback that you have in place, but also the foundation of the team and the front office and what you think where you can win and win for a long time. And relatively quickly.
I think I may sound crazy. I think the Bears. If you get an offensive line for Caleb Williams, that team is, I mean, they're right up there with competing with the Packers and Vikings. I really believe they have a defense. It's just the offensive line is atrocious. And I think Ryan Poles has made some tough decisions with trying to orchestrate that group. You know, they signed a guard, Nate Davis, who had a lot of red flags, but Ryan Poles, being an offensive line, former offensive line himself, believed in him. It just didn't come into fruition. I think they started like 2 or 3 backups. I mean, the one solid piece for the offensive line for the Bears is at the right tackle. But everybody else, I mean, they can go.
Yeah.
So I think once they kind of get an offensive line in front of Caleb, I mean, they'll be damn good. I mean, they have talent. I mean, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift. But they got guys that can cold commit. They got guys that can go.
And they were 4-2.
Yeah, and I like Caleb Williams. He just has to. He has to understand this is not the college game. You got to be on time with the ball. You got to go through your progressions. Yeah, he can make any off-platform throw possible, but he also takes a lot of bad sacks. So
there you go. Six openings, we think. And that's sometimes we've had as many as 8 or 9. 8 for sure. I don't know if we've had 9. We've had 8 before.
I'm trying to think if there's a surprise fire that maybe.
Well, I think if there was going to be a surprise firing, I think it could be McDaniel. It could be Zach Taylor. I don't think that there's any of these other teams. Shane Steichen in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah.
That's been a weird season, and Sunday did him no favors.
Correct.
Did him no favors. I should have put him on the list. I forgot. Or 100%. At least ask you about him.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they've had enough of him. I have no idea. Shanahan would be mind-blowing, to be quite honest.
Well, I only threw that out there because I think I don't know how long you can hold on, right?
Yeah. Still have a lot of good players, though.
Still a lot of good players. Still a lot there, but I don't know. I just feel like this year was a big blow for him.
Yeah. Oh, it was 6-10.
Correct.
Not great with one more to go. All right, when we come back, we'll be rejoined by Chris Lopresti. Later in the hour, the Boomer NGO moments of the day for the year 2024. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer NGO on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer NGO podcast from WFAN.
All right, good morning to you. It's 8:25. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer NGO, Bill Fortov Studio, 888-808-1019. We're here till 10 o'clock. It is the final morning show of 2024, which is crazy, but that is what it is. And sitting in for me is one Christopher Lopresti. What's up, Chris?
Good morning. We're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. So a bit of a back and forth shootout last night in Santa Clara. It's a wrap up. Good God. Wrap up week. Well, I combined wrap and week.
Yeah.
Wrap up is what I was going for. Week 17 in the NFL, and the visiting Lions finally went ahead in the final minute of quarter number 3.
Hurry out of the gun, Gibbs to his left. Jared's got it back, looking, throwing, end zone caught. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Amon-Ra St. Brown hauled it in at the 1 and just turned it up, found pay dirt, and the Lions have the lead.
That is Dan Miller, Lions Radio. A little more excitement there, yes. But it was second half.
That was pretty good.
Give them the lead for good on their way to a 40-34 road win over the 49ers. They get to 14-2 and finish 8-0 away from Ford Field. Could have rested some guys in this one, knowing the NFC North title and the 1 seed will come down to week 18 at home against the Vikings, but Dan Campbell opted against that, having prepared his regulars to play all week long.
I just don't believe it's fair to put in a guy who's not prepared to play, especially a young player. And then you can only sit 6 guys. So who are all those 6? Well, we can just, all right, who are the 6? And then the other guys that don't, was it fair to them that we're not using everything we've got?
So pretty tame and composed discussing it there in his post-game press conference.
I love that guy.
It's a great reason, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, how do you tell, you know, if you obviously you want to sit Sunni Powell, I'm saying his name wrong, I apologize, but like he's your big time tackle, but at the same time, like, you know, the rest of the line got to play.
That's right.
You don't have 5 backups dressed.
Correct.
For the game. Yeah. That's fair. Inside the locker room, a little more emotional, at least at the start with his players.
I got an unbelievable amount of respect for you guys. I know what this was.
That little pause, he kind of almost lost it there for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw a little some tears in his eyes.
That's happened a couple times to him this year.
He has a Dick Vermeil in him. He'll bust out and cry.
He quickly gathered himself, though.
I respect the out of you guys. I respect the out of how we roll the ball out, and you guys just go out and compete. I can't even put it into words, man. I cannot put it into words. I love the hell out of you guys. I love the hell out of you guys.
Dick Vermeil's a good one. Jerry, nice. A little more for you. Mickey Callaway on roids.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Go Mickey
totally
Callaway.
Passion talking, by the way. He's just ultra passionate.
And
he is right.
The struggle in his voice adds to it.
I mean, some teams right now are, you know, it's very cliche, but some teams are either thriving or surviving. Like this team, with everything they've been able to endure, some of the battles they've been through, I mean, they're still thriving, which is a plus as a head coach.
Very much so. So we've heard from Brian Daboll, who's not offering much on the Giants' win over the Colts and the impact it had on their draft status. So let's check in with our resident Giants fan, one of many that we have, but, you know, this guy lives and dies with all things Big Blue, and that's Chris McMonagle. I did not get to this on a busy Monday, but as you might imagine, a somewhat meaningless Week 17 win that cost them the first overall pick didn't exactly sit well as he finally opened his show around 12:30 a.m. Monday morning.
Taking your phone calls till again 3 a.m. on this miserable Monday. And make no mistake to all you dopes out there, This is a miserable Monday.
That's a way to set the scene.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, just getting warmed up, and even a Super Bowl winner from Giants past was not able to escape C-Mac's wrath.
I should be pleased with it. I got Sean O'Hara on the, and I love Sean. Anyone connected to any of those, I love him. I think he does a great job. But he's in the postgame talking about how, you know, this is a great win because it's a referendum on what they're doing. A referendum on what they're doing? It's the third win of the 17 weeks they've been playing.
And he's running out of oxygen at the end there.
He's been on this.
Sounds like Tracy Morgan.
He's been on this for the last 5-6 weeks.
Yes.
Saying
that at this point, the season's over. Yeah. We need a quarterback. I want the number one pick. Don't win any more games.
Play right. Well, but I'm lose also, close.
And it goes to how we started the show yesterday. I would understand that logic and back that if not being able to attain a quarterback is out of the picture, Understood. Which is not true at all.
I'm just trying to put into context why it's so crazy right now.
And also, hey, can't just put this on the Giants. Those damn Colts laid down and died with their season on the line.
Have you ever seen guys so wide open or so many missed tackles in the entire year playing with the New York Giants? Have you seen it once? Once! Not once. They were awful today.
They sure were, to the point where DeForest Buckner on radio yesterday said, "We bleeped the bed."
Yeah.
Yes. And I guess McAfee said he heard guys have been showing up late to meetings and whatnot, and Shane Steichen had to address that. So they've got.
How did I not put them on the list when we were running down the team?
I don't know. And Susie said, I was like, he should have been on the list.
Matter of fact, the more I'm listening to it, seven teams.
There you go. And in closing from C-Mac, before we move on, let's really turn up the hyperbole to max levels here.
That was the low point of my fandom in any sport. Giants, Yankees, Knicks. The low point of fandom, because I hated myself. The Giants made me hate them, hate myself.
It's a little recency bias, I'd say, for a guy that's seen the Yankees lose some heartbreaking World Series. He's seen Giants Super Bowl victories. He's seen a loss as well.
He's
a Ranger fan. You've seen some heartbreak there. He's a Knicks fan. They haven't won a championship in his lifetime. So there have been some other low points.
Of course,
if you want to hear something fun, listen or be one of the callers who tells C-Mac that it's worse being a Yankee fan than being a Giants fan. That sets him off like nothing else.
It's worse being a Yankees fan than a Giants fan?
Yeah, because they're...
The Yankees that are good every year, always in the playoffs, it's more suffering than the Giants, who have been one of the worst teams for a decade.
You agree it's worse being a Yankees fan than a Giants fan?
I do not agree with that. I do not agree.
Game 5 of this year.
Okay.
The Yankees give you a season.
I went outside to my veranda.
Every year.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, to be able to get to the show and not complete it every time.
It sucks. I get it.
It's brutal.
But there's also like the top of the mountain a bunch of times.
Yeah, but that's like being able to lay in bed with the hottest chick you've ever been with, and she's like, that's it. That's all I got for you.
You know how many teams? Like,
you got to finish it.
But what about all the other hot chicks you have scored with?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
The job is to get it done.
It does matter.
It's one thing to lay in a bed. You got to finish.
There can only be one team that finishes every year. Will
right. It? And not being the guy to finish just sucks.
There's a lot of men that do, though. There are not a lot of teams that can, because it's not possible.
Boy. I'd rather not be in the room.
So you'd
not be in the room.
Time out. Bringing it back to the game for a second. You'd rather just not have a season and not give a crap?
You'd rather be the Jets right now?
You want to be the Anaheim Angels?
You think the Jet fan would rather this year than get to the Super Bowl and lose?
It's one thing to get there every 2 or 3 years. But when you're in contention every year and not being able to close kills you.
Especially
because it's hard.
You're apathetic the other way, though. Do you want to just not care about it, though, too?
I don't want to say not care. Obviously, you want to care. But it's like this, when we lost the Super Bowl to Green Bay, like, I remember how that, like, our team, we were shell-shocked.
I understand. I totally get it.
We couldn't recover because there was this perception that we were always going to get it done.
I get it.
And there was
fan, you also had every year, if I'm a Steelers fan, and we talked about this, there are a lot of Steelers fans that can't stand Mike Tomlin.
Sure.
Here's what I know, and I'm not a Steelers fan, but, you know, I did watch Jason Garrett take the Cowboys to the playoffs a lot. I did watch Wade Phillips take them they never won a damn thing either.
Correct.
But I also knew going into a season, they were going to be good. And I knew there was something to look forward to, and there was hope at the end. Yeah, it never ended well. But for the Steelers, how many years do they have to finish with a...
100%.
You want to be the Colts?
No.
Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, you want to be the Jets?
I get that aspect, but I think it's for me, it feels more brutal to be on the championship floor,
time after time, or at least in contention, serious contention, of winning the damn thing.
I'm going to ask you a serious question.
Go ahead.
All right? Because he's relevant right now. Would you rather be the Giants for the last 10 years, or would you rather be the Packer fan post-Super Bowl championship with Aaron Rodgers? And if you tell me you'd rather be the Giant fan, I ain't buying it. I'm sorry, I'm not buying it.
That's dumb. Of course,
why is it dumb? They didn't win a Super Bowl.
I know, but
you just said if they don't win the Super Bowl, that it's pointless and it hurts more. So they, I mean, NFC championship games at Lambeau Field that they lost.
Correct.
And according to your theory or your thinking, you'd rather be the Giant fan than the Packer fan.
I don't know if I want to be. There's another team. I just don't like, I wouldn't say the Giants, but.
Jets. Why? The Giants have been putrid for a decade aside from one playoff appearance.
But the Giants, the Jets feel worse than the Giants. I don't know why.
Yeah, maybe, but that, to go back to where we started, Yankees, Giant. Like, you had, look, you want to tell me it's a 10-year-old who, you know, wasn't around or paying attention for the 2009 World Series? But for a Yankee fan that's in our age range, I mean, okay, yeah, they've come up short a few times in the World Series, but they've also won a ton of them.
Yeah, I get it. I just, maybe I'm just still a victim in a moment after seeing what happened this past World Series, so I'm bitter about it.
Recency bias.
I guess also, and you can speak to this as well as you can, as a fan, I've told this many times, I'll never forget when I saw the Cowboys win that, when they won Super Bowl 27 in, wherever the hell it was, in California. And I remember sitting there when it was over. Now remember, when I grew up, they were not good. I grew up, it was early, the early years of Danny White. They were losing playoff games, championship games.
Oh,
then,
wow.
Then 84, it started going the other way. 85, not great, though. They won the division. 86, really bad. 87, not good. 88, horrendous. 89, the worst. So those are my high school
Switzer
years. Switzer got there after Jimmy Johnson. So Jimmy Johnson was at 127 and 28. Then Switzer came in.
They went through the brutal year, Aikman's rookie year, right?
Yeah. So, like, my high school years were when they were awful. So, like, when they finally won, which I never thought I'd see, I thought that was the, you know, the thing of the 70s. I remember sitting there on the couch after the game, like, all the, like, huh. Yeah.
What now?
Yeah. Like, this is amazing. I can go buy the shirt, but I don't play. I don't get a trophy. And it was cool seeing them win again a couple of times. But I will tell, I don't know.
Listen, I get the logic. You'd rather have a horse in a race, a horse in a race than not have a horse at all. I totally understand that.
I don't think you do.
I'm bitter. I'm bitter. I realize I'm bitter.
That's okay. Some people are bitter. We understand that. You've got some scars.
Yeah.
We all do to some extent, depending on what we're talking about. All right, I want to get to Bill Belichick from the McAfee show yesterday. And this was interesting, at least to me, because there was so much talk and criticism. We did it yesterday about Raheem Morris and the Falcons, the way he handled the timeouts at the end of regulation Sunday night. Falcons end up losing to the Commanders in overtime, and in the process lost control of their playoff destiny. Belichick, at his core, actually, to some extent, agreed with the strategy Morris employed.
I had always wanted to save it for the end, especially if you need a field goal, so you didn't have to run the no-huddle field goal team on, that you could just take a timeout and go in there and kick it.
So he'd like to have at least one in his pocket. Mm-hmm. Now, a little different in that Morris had multiple timeouts. Yeah. They were under a minute to go.
Well, he had two,
Not using all of them. But for Belichick, he ended up adapting his philosophy because of the preferences of the future Hall of Famer that happened to be playing quarterback for him. Longer clip and explanation here.
But Brady said, look, I'd rather have more time and less timeouts because it gives me more options than less time and a timeout. So let me handle it. If I screw it up, then that's my fault and you can take it away from me. But I would rather you take the timeout with 27 seconds and give me more time to do something with than run a play with 27 seconds. And now we go to 13 seconds and we have one timeout.
So, you know, a lot of math there, but you can,
you know,
thinking along with it, different philosophies. Now, of course, the big difference in this comparison is Tom Brady versus Michael Penix Jr. in the first road start of his NFL career. Last one from Belichick, and he kind of drives that home.
And it puts a lot of responsibility on the quarterback, but Tom wanted that, and I felt very confident giving it to him. So basically, we fundamentally made that switch.
Understandably so, and obviously it worked out pretty well for them along the way. So interesting insight there from Belichick and then Brady via Belichick, rational thinking. And then on the other hand, you've got Mad Dog Russo losing his mind over Morris and the way that he handled the end of the game, because their loss set in motion a completely different schedule and plan for the logistics of Week 18, the type of minutia that only could upset Dog to this extent. So here's part of a near 3-minute rant yesterday on his SiriusXM show, where Dog is playing out a scenario where Roger Goodell, after the loss, calls the Falcons to bitch and moan about the way Morris
like
handled
a make-believe
the timeouts.
Scenario.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Costing us a potential Cowboys-Commanders primetime game in Week 18.
That's exactly what Goodell was going to do. He was going to give them Washington-Dallas on Saturday night so Aikman and Buck could do a big Cowboy game. Cowboys at home, you know, love to knock off Washington to be a little juice in the building. Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy, Dan Quinn going back to the big D. And instead, Goodell, you can't get him off the phone. He's more irate than you are because Morris screwed him too. So Morris screwed the little guy in Buchanan, the fat guy in Rapid, the old fogey in Blank, and the NFL.
I mean, he is just... still, he's one of a kind, man.
It is fine. I always thought the Cowboys were going to end up playing Saturday night until the way everything shaked out. So
yep.
He's not wrong.
No.
That probably would have done a very big number. Saturday night.
What about the, well, that's all yeah. He's these course. Guys worried the ratings. And
yeah, no,
how
I know.
How they're going to lay out the schedule and all that. So,
I know.
Yeah. Knicks and Wizards played.
By the way, you saw the Netflix numbers?
I didn't.
27 million people.
Wow,
that's pretty good.
I still feel bad for the NBA because they.
Well, the NBA did better. The NBA did. We went over the numbers last Friday. I think it was Friday
in
when
a
we
vacuum.
Saw them.
Yeah,
the NBA did well. They topped out at 8.7 million, but that was after the NFL was over. Lakers, Warriors.
Sure.
They averaged 5.5 million a game, which was up from last year. Okay. The problem is, it's still the NFL is still five times that number.
I mean,
five
just to see
the number.
Football that Wednesday, Thursday, then Saturday, then Sunday
for sure. Mm-hmm. And keep
Monday.
In mind those football games.
Monday,
like, think about this: the football games were terrible on Christmas Day.
Correct.
And 27 million people still watched.
Now, to be fair, I think the football itself peaked at 25. The 27
peaked at 27.5.
Well, then we discussed though.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
as I read
sorry,
it,
I didn't see that.
It was during Beyonce's halftime performance.
So the real number was 24,
I think 24, 25. Yeah.
So, but still five times.
Beyonce
the
gave him the bump.
She sure did. Yeah, she did.
So he gave you one too there.
The Knicks with a second straight win down in D.C. over the Wizards. They pulled away in half number two, 126-106. That's eight in a row overall. Josh Hart, triple-double, 23 points, 15 boards, 10 assists. I knew he was a Maryland native. I didn't realize he went to high school in the D.C. area. Hmm. He's a big Commander. Fan.
When Jake Daniels was there.
Right, and he went to the Commanders game on Sunday night, and they talked, and he had the jersey in the locker and all that. You know what else I didn't realize? Random. Josh Hart is the great-nephew of Elston Howard. How about that? The more you know. Random stuff. You know, I like these little things.
What
anyway.
Elston Howard?
Willie, what kind of Yankee fan are you, man?
I'm a guy that who don't know who the hell Elston Howard is.
All right, we'll leave that one alone.
Zoo? Anybody?
He's a Yankees great from yesteryear.
I apologize.
Okay.
I know what Mickey Rivers is.
Who's this guy, Babe Ruth?
Yeah, right. Baby Ruthie right out of Sandlot. Who is she?
His number's retired, isn't it? I mean, the Yankees retire everybody's number.
No, well, not only until recently. That Nelson Howard's number's been retired a while. Just saying. Nelson. Anyway, here's Josh Hart with Bill Pito on the court at MSG right after the game. This is a fitting question to ask as 2024 comes to a close.
Any New Year's resolutions for you?
Nope.
I'll make you a deal. I'll give up Mike and Ikes if you give up Mike and Ikes.
Nah, that's never going to happen. Mike and Ikes ain't never going to happen. New Year's resolution, man. Keep winning, grow my faith, and be a good dad.
All right, Josh, hey, congrats on a great game.
Appreciate it.
Happy New Year.
What's that?
What are you saying?
Growing his faith.
Growing his faith,
oh.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And be a good dad.
Got it.
I thought that was a good answer.
It's a great answer.
He gave him the low-hanging fruit on the Mike and Ikes. He didn't take that, and he went for something a little bit more heartfelt.
I love Mike and Ikes.
I thought he's
well, so does he.
Never
he's
mind.
He got a you like sponsorship.
Are you a Candy guy? You're not a Candy
not really.
Guy. No. I mean, I like it, but I don't.
Him and the Mike and Ikes became such a thing. He ended up, I mean, we. I think we did a read here on the fan for him.
We did.
Mike and Ikes.
Yes, we did.
Yes. Sponsored?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Al gave
yes,
me
yes,
for
did.
Christmas, he gave me organic dark chocolate.
Why?
Because it's like the healthier candy. Very good.
Willie, there's a lot about Al you're not even aware of that we'd need a
he's
whole
a
other
clip
show.
You showed
to,
me. Said a lot.
Yeah, but I mean,
he's
that just
eater.
Scratches the surface.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 100%.
He'd be lecturing you in here about seed oils and all the bad things and food that
oh,
you can't
oh, he's kind
have.
Of neurotic like that?
Oh, kind of. Oh, he's,
don't
yeah.
tell him you love Popeyes and White Castle.
Well, then we have nothing to talk about.
He will look down on you.
Yeah, you guys would be That's like fine. Oil and water. We'll leave it at that, right? I
mean, you can look at it, so you can tell that. You have to have a conversation.
Oh, boy. Rutgers beat Columbia 91-64. Rangers lose down in Florida to the defending champion Panthers 5-3. They have dropped 15 out of 19. You do have the college football playoff quarterfinals beginning today, or tonight, I should say. Penn State, Boise State, and the Fiesta Bowl from Glendale, Arizona this evening. There you go.
Sounds good. We're going to do the what I deem the top five moments of the day from the Boomer and Geo program from 2024. That comes up next, and then we've got more coming up at 9 o'clock. It's Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, very funny. 8:48, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, Built for Tough Studio. So on Friday, I gave you five. I gave you a few more yesterday. These are the top five moments of the day for me, since it is the Boomer and Geo program, as I say, and we are wrapping up 2024. I came up with what I thought. I went through almost all of them, and there's obviously a lot of them. So we're going to go with the one that's labeled 1X1X Zoo. So just to give you some background, this one was fairly recent. It is after Juan Soto decided to sign with the Mets, and we got wind of this monster contract. And we were trying to figure out how old we would all be if, in fact, he played through the length of the contract. And then it took a very odd turn in the middle of this when Boomer also was wondering how it might affect someone, and in this case, let's say, a member of Gio's family. Go ahead.
Al will be 70. That's assuming we're all still here. Eddie will be how old? Well, I don't care about your birthday, but how old will you be?
72.
So I'll be 65. Boomer will be... You could stop yawning for a second.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Fair enough.
Gio brought this 78? Up this morning.
It's crazy.
Yes.
78?
Yeah.
And then I'll be 57? 57.
Yep.
So there you have it.
Oof. Jesus Christ.
Sabrina could be married by then.
50. Nah, she'd be 22.
She got married young. She got knocked up.
Yeah, that's not good.
Way to deflect. Let's not talk about me being 78.
Jesus, man.
I'm going to make this conversation way worse for you.
No, let's
say it's okay. I'm going to bring it on you, man.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
But poor Sabrina catching strays here.
Oh, God.
I didn't see that coming.
The Dolphins beat the Jets.
She's six, by the way. Just to make that clear.
That's why I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, but in 15 years, she could be 21 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
And what happens to 21?
Yeah.
That, but... Jesus.
That's good. So that one, that's fine. So that one, kind of out of bounds, but funny.
Yeah.
Was he brought up his six-year-old daughter.
You know what I took from that clip? People are terrified of getting old.
Okay.
Everybody that, once we got into, Zoo, am I wrong? Like, I'm listening to everybody rip off the 65s, the 70s, and you can hear everybody's tone. Like,
well, what's good about it?
I don't know. So my mother-in-law is 77 years old.
Okay.
And this woman travels. She's one of the first black anesthesiologists in the state of Mississippi. This woman lives a very vibrant life.
That's great.
And so, but collectively, all of you guys are like, well, that's the end. Like, there's still a lot of life.
I didn't say it was the end. No, I never said it was the end.
But you didn't seem like, nobody seemed.
Well, who's excited to be 15 years older?
I mean, it's life. I don't think you can run from it.
You're preaching to the choir, and I know that, but to be excited about it, there's two different conversations. There's accepting it, which we all have, and then there's, as you're pointing out, you should be excited to be 78. Boomer's not excited to be 78.
Maybe I look forward to getting
old.
Yeah, because I expect to accomplish a lot, and so I want to look back and be like, man, I'm still hot at 75. I've done a lot. My kids are great. I just have a very optimistic mindset about getting older.
That's fine. And you can have that optimistic
you
mindset.
You guys feel like you're going to be...
I'm sorry.
Hanging out at a dock.
If we took 10 phone calls right now...
Ripping cigs, crying about the yesteryears.
There's not one of 10 that would call up and say, I can't wait to be 15 years older than I am today.
I don't think there's a different conversation saying, I can't wait, rather than saying, when I get this age, I expect to be
like basking in my older age.
But we're basking in our age now, and everything's great.
You all guys ripped off those older ages, and you sounded like it's closing time.
No. But your life is different. Has to be.
But not. I don't expect my life to be depends different.
Who said anything about depends different?
Well, I just. Well, you think?
How old are you?
I'm 41.
Okay, you want to be 63?
I still, knock it off. No, you don't.
41's a lot better than 63 or 56 in this case.
I get that, my dear Watson. What I'm simply saying is, I don't think about it, and I don't say it with the same tone as I'm like, oh, 75, ugh. I say it like, oh, 75, okay. The kid still got it.
I'll tell you what. If we still know one another, let's revisit this conversation in 20 years.
Jerry, you're never leaving me.
Yeah, well, 10 o'clock I am. All right, number two. This is labeled 2X2X. This is not in the same regard. We had the Jazz Chisholm game yesterday, one of the moments of the day, but he's involved in this one because this is when the Yankees acquired him, and it comes back to Adam Schein again on Sirius XM. And he was going nuts over people's reaction to the Yankees acquiring him. And then, kind of like with Gio, his kids kind of come into play here in the mix.
Look at his batting average. Oh, he played in Miami. Oh, what about the ESPN report about his personality in the clubhouse? Bigots! Losers!
Everybody calls him Jism and says Jism. Bag it, you Jism weirdos. His name's Chisholm. And he's got jazz hands.
Jazz Jism.
The amazing thing is, that's not an act, that's him.
Well, I do think he means he's putting on the schmaltz a little bit in the summer.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's walking around, you know, doing that in the car.
They say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You think his boys are like that?
No, they're probably, no. I can't imagine.
Can I sleep over Stevens? Bag it, Dad, you loser!
I hope not. Ah, shut up! You don't talk to me like that.
That is so good.
Primal sounds there of Adam Schein. There you go. Moment of the day.
So there you go. That was one that I thought was in the top five. He is awesome. I've never heard him say anything negative at all.
Sunshine and rainbows.
All day.
Sunshine and rainbows. All right. The third one labeled 3X, 3X there, Zoo. So this one comes from the DP World Tour. And I caught a video where they were using what they call a green room for therapy for the players. I don't know if you saw this. And so I played the audio to the amazement of Boomer and Gio.
What would you like to get off your chest?
Trying to change my attitude towards the game a little bit by being a bit more positive.
He's talking to this computer.
What?
I swear to God.
Do you want to talk about how you're feeling? What's going through your mind?
I'm just not where I want to be.
You know? Starts crying to the computer. Come on.
You can't force it, you know. You've got to roll with the punches, and that's what I'm doing at the moment. So.
And he's fighting back to
I
you.
Just remember the one time when I was six, and I missed a putt, and my father beat me with a wet noodle. No, I had scars for days. And my mom called me a little turd. And I never forgot it. It was all dancing through my head.
Well, he did make mention.
I don't like to get emotional about it, but I'm quite an emotional person, as everyone knows. So, yeah, it's hard.
Thank you for opening up to us, Matt. Anything else you'd like to share?
That is when I was eight, my bus driver called me sissy face. And it really was hurtful. I wasn't the only kid, the boy with a pink backpack, okay? Teddy had one too. But for whatever reason, they left him alone.
I found that one very funny. Then do you remember?
So, this is a clarification. That was the bot? The therapist was a bot?
I do.
Jerry's in tears, by the way. I didn't think Jerry had. He was capable of crying.
I remember just playing that and seeing it. I was like, what am I watching? Yeah, it was very funny. It was like a pro golfer. I forget which one, who it was. And he was talking to like a screen. I don't know. Do you remember Oilers Girl?
Are we talking about
you guys remember thing? Oilers Girl? So in the playoffs, she flipped her boobs. And it was caught on a cell phone camera, and it went viral.
Sometimes I have a lot of screen time. Trying to make sure.
So you're not aware of the story. All right, so she's an Oilers fan. She flashes her boobs.
Okay.
Someone catches it on video. It goes beyond viral. She disappears. Then she resurfaces. And the Spit and Chicklets guys from Barstool, right? That's a Barstool podcast.
Biz and Wit.
They put her on.
Oh, wow.
And they interview her. Now, that caught my ear because my thought, as you'll hear as I describe it, is could you imagine, obviously, it's a new time with social media, YouTube, not back in the day when it was like Mike and Chris and WFAN just on the radio. And I had this thought, if they were lucky enough to land the interview like these guys did.
Media's changed a little bit. And I'm thinking back in the day, if Mike and Chris were doing this interview, would they be asking questions such as this?
All of a sudden, the d***s are coming out. Did anyone tell you to do it, or was that just a feeling of emotion as the Oilers scored?
Okay, so that's one. And then you have a question like this.
What made you whip out your d***s? Was it a goal? Was it even at a live game?
What was the answer?
Who cares?
All right, take me through this. You're there at the game, you got the jersey on, someone's filming with the cell phone, you're like, let me show my boobies. Is that coming to your head, or you just saw you drinking alcohol?
I just want to go back to the moment that you showed your boobies. And, you know, you say to yourself, you know, people want to see this. Do they not want to see this? You know, is this a split second decision? Or you're just like, bam, here are my breasts.
On a real, how about that?